We're here on Daf Ayin Chesam and Beis. There are two Mishnayos. We'll do the first. Ha'omer b'ni zem mamzer eino neman. If a man testifies about his son that he's a mamzer, that he was born from an Iser Kares, eino neman. Why? Because a father is a karov to his son, and therefore he's posel yedus. And not only that, vafilu shnehem modim al ha'ubar shebimeyeha shemamzerhu. Even if the mother herself admits that the embryo in her belly is a mamzer, that means it came from someone other than her husband. So in this case, both the father and the mother are in agreement, testifying that the son is a mamzer. Einam ne'man. Tanakama holds in this, even in this case, even where the mother agrees to the father, they're not believed. You still don't have two edim kshirim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ne'manim. Rabbi Yehuda says, in both of the cases that we described, in the Reish and the Sefer, they're believed. A father is believed, and in both cases, the father testifies that his son is a mamzer. The Rambam points out that as far as the mother is concerned, she doesn't have this special nemanus with which Rabbi Yehuda grants the father, as the Torah says, Yakir. But the father has that special nemanus. Gemara asks, "Mai vafilu shnehem?" What's the chiddush here that even if both are mode, that you add the word afilu? You already told me in the first part of the Mishnah that a father is not neman because he's a karov. Then certainly a mother should not be believed because she's a krova. Lo mi boy ka'amar. You have to read the Mishnah with a lo mi boy. Lo mi boy means not only this but even that. Lo mi boy, I don't have to tell you. Ihu, to lo kimle. The father should not be believed. That's logical because he cannot testify with any element of certainty as to whether his wife got pregnant from him or from someone else. And that's pshita, they shouldn't be believed. Again, there may be various cases where the father could possibly know for sure that if she became pregnant, it wasn't from him. But certainly, he would not know, as a general rule, whether or not he was the father. El afilu I, but in the case of the mother, the Kimla, she knows for sure if she got pregnant from her husband or from someone else. I might think that she should be believed. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us, lo mehemna, she's not believed. The Gemara says, there's an additional chiddush in the second din, in the Sefer of the Mishnah. Lo mi boy, hecha de isla, disle chezkas, chazoka de kashrus. If the son has a chazoka de kashrus, let's say he was born, and we had every reason to assume that he was a kosher, lo mehemna, the parents are not believed to passel him. They are testifying against his cheskas kashrus. El afilu in the case of an ubar, where she points to her belly and she says that the fetus, the embryo inside my belly is a mamzer, and there's no cheskas kashrus, the child has not yet been born to achieve a cheskas kashrus. Nami, even such a case, the lesle cheskas chazaka de kashrus, lo mehemne, we still do not believe the parents to passel him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'monim, Kidisanya, the Bryce explains Rabbi Yehuda Shita, he darshans it from a posuk in the parsha of Yerushas Bechor, in Dvarim Perkov Aleph, it says, Ki es ha-Bechor ben hasnua yakir, la seslo pi shnayim, bechol asher yimotze lo. And the Torah adds an extra word here, yakir. It could have said, Ki es habachor ben asnua yitain lo pishnayim. Why does it say the superfluous word yakir? Yakirenu lacherim. means his testimony will make others recognize the status of the child. Mikan Omar Yehuda Neman Omar Lomar. A father is believed to say about his sons, Ze Bini Bechar, this is my Bechar, and he therefore should inherit Pishnaim in the Yerusha. Ukeshem Sheneman Lomar, Ze Bini Bechar, Kach Neman Odom Lomar, Ze Ben Grusha, Ze Ben Chalutza. Rabbi Yehuda takes this a step further. The father is believed, let's say he's a Kohen, to testify that the mother of this male child is a grusha, which means that since the son was born to a marriage between a kohen and a grusha, that's isuri kohuna, the son therefore has the status of a chol, and he's completely disqualified from kohuna. Or, for example, in the case of a chol derabbanan ben chalutza, he's believed. The Chachomim Omrim Eino Neman. Chachomim say that a person is not believed to testify about his son, in the case of a Cholol, that he is a Cholol, that he's a Apostle of Kuhuna. And he's not even believed to say that his son is a Ben Chalutza, who's only Apostle Midrabbanan. Amalei, and now we turn to the lower part of this Mishnah before we get to the second Mishnah. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, in this case, turns to Rav and he says, Bishleim, I understand. L'Rav Yehuda, I know the Chsiv Yakir, the meaning of the Pasuk Yakir, that a person, a father, is Neman as Ben, to establish that his Ben is a Cholol, a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutzel, L'Rabbanon. According to the Chachamim, Yakir Lomali, what do we do with the Pasuk Yakir? And the Gemara answers, Bitzarech Hekera, that the meaning of the word Yakir is only for Bechora in the case of Tzarech Hekera. For example, we don't know who his oldest son is. Let's say, for example, his oldest son comes from Medina Sayyam, from some far distant country. He has no chazaka that he's a Bechor. In such a scenario, the Chachamim agree, they admit to Rabbi Yehuda, that the father is believed to establish his son as a Bechor. Lamai Hilchasa, the Gemara asks, this nemonus of the father to testify about his son that he's Bechor, to what is it relevant? Loseis lo pishnayim, if you're talking about giving a double portion to the Yerusha, pshita, lomali kra, why do I need a pasuk for that? Obviously, the father should be believed because he has the nemonus of a migu. Migu di boy mesve. Le matana, the father could completely circumvent the laws of Yerusha. He could give a gift to his son, and he could give him all of his possessions. Certainly, if he can give him twice the amount that he would give to the other brothers, Milo Yahavile, would we not recognize the power, the authority of the father to give away his possessions? And therefore, when he claims that this son is my Bechor and he should get Pishnayim, he should be believed because it's Biyado, he can give him the Pishnayim. The Gemara says, B'nechasim shenaflu li'achar mikan. But what about possessions that come into the father's estate after, subsequent to his testimony about the Bechor? On that, he doesn't have the koach of biyado. He didn't have the power to give these nechasim as a gift, because that would be adam makne dover shelo bali olam. And we paskin that ain't adam makne dover shelo bali olam. That's why we need the case of yakir, that a father should be believed to establish his son gets pishnayim, to inherit a double portion even from from valuables that come into the possession of the father subsequent to his testimony. The Gemara now asks Ulu Rabbi Meir, we don't assume that Ein Odom Machne Dovah Shelo Bol Yolam, Diomar Odom Machne Dovah Shelo Bol Yolam, Yakir Lomali. According to Rabbi Meir, your answer of Nechosim Shenofel Yachar Mikan is not relevant. How does he darshan the pasuk Yakir? Shenoflu lo kishahu goseis. What about a situation of the father who's on his deathbed and the last breaths of life, and he inherits something at that moment, and he doesn't have the ability to be makna those nechasim that fell to him at that moment? A goseis doesn't have the ability to be makna nechasim to someone else, and we'll discuss the reason why in just a minute. Is therefore, with regard to these nechasim that fell to him, entered into his estate at the moment that he's a goseis, he has no migu, and the Torah is mechadish. Nevertheless, he is believed for all his nechasim, even for nechasim that will eventually come into his possession later on at the time that he's a goseis. According to some Rishonim, the reason why a goseis is not able to give a haknov nechasim as a matana is because he's considered like a mess. That's one approach. Other Rishonim say that a goseis is kechai, even when he needs an action, and therefore if he gives a matana, it will be chal. But generally speaking, he doesn't have the ability to be makna something. And therefore, this halacha that we're seeing here in this Gemara is not limited to a goseis in the technical sense, but anyone who is at that point, nebuch, that he can't speak. Or a third approach is that the problem of a goseis is that the halacha considers his mind unreliable. We don't know that he has, as we would say, he's playing with a full deck. And there's a sheet of Rabbeinu Yoel that why is goseis choshev kemes as far as kinyonim is concerned? In the case of a mess, a person doesn't own his nechasim and he doesn't have the power to transfer ownership on them. But in the case of a goseis, he still is alive and he owns things. You can't steal from him. And if he has the mindset, the ability to be makne, then he's not kosher. Why should he be considered like a mess? The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Chesamid Beis addresses the issue of two possible makachim, the father of this young girl who's a ketana, who has the authority to makadesh on her behalf, up to the age of 12 years and one day. He also has a yad to Mekadesh, his daughter, who's a Nara, up until 12 and a half. And what happens if the father sent a shliach to be Mekadesh, someone on behalf of his daughter, and the shliach went out and he was mekadesh? Or, for example, a woman gave an agent the rights to be makabel kedushin on her behalf. And what happened was that at the end of the day, the shliach went out and was mekadesh, but at the same time, the father himself received kedushin. So there are two potential makadshim, or in the case of a woman who appointed the shliach, she herself received kedushin besides the shliach. So there are two potential makadshim. Who, to whom is she married? Misha nosan reshus l'shliach l'shlucha l'kadish es bito. Father gave reshus to a shliach to receive kedushin on behalf of his daughter. V'halach hu, and the father himself went v'kidsha, and he received kedushin from someone else. Im shalo kadmo, if we know for sure that the father was first sequentially, and his kedushin preempted the kedushin of the shliach, is kedushav Kiddushin, the father's Kiddushin, is valid, and the Kiddushin of the Shliach is totally meaningless. The im shel shlucho kodmo, if the Shliach was first, and he was mekabel Kiddushin on behalf of this bas, before the father did Kiddushov, meaning the Kiddushin of the Shliach, Kiddushin is valid. The im eino yodua, if we don't know which was Makadesh first, and therefore we have a suffek, Ishneem nosnim get, shall require in order to get married a get from both. The imratzu, if they agree, echad nosen get, the echad kones. They can make an agreement, these two makadshim. One can decide, all right, I'll give her a get, and the other will therefore be allowed to marry her. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The Mishnah now gives in the Sefer another case, which is very, very similar to the Reisha. We're going to have to see why the Mishnah even bothered with the Sefer. V'chein, and so too, Ha'isha, a gdola, who's outside in the domain of her father, she'nasna reshus l'shlucha l'kad, she appointed a shliach, v'holcha, v'kidshas atzma, im shalla kadmu kidusha kidushin, v'im shal shlucha kadmu kidushav kidushin, v'im yodim shneim nosnim get lo get, v'im ratzu echad nosnim lo get v'echad kones. So now we're talking about the case not where, as in the Reisha, the father was makadish on behalf of his daughter who's a katana, but a gdola who's makabel kidushin on behalf of herself after having appointed a shliach to represent her. I wanted to mention here, when it says in the Mishnah of Echad Kones, there's a machlokes that may even date back to the Rishonim about whether or not, if he decides, whichever one of these two Makadshim decides that he wants to go ahead with Kedushin, does he need a new Maisa Kedushin, or is the original Kedushin acceptable? It would seem that there should be a new Maisa Kedusha, because the original Kedusha, we're not sure of its status, it's a Suffolk. And to create a Vada and bridge between a Suffolk and a Vada, he should implement the Kedusha again. In any event, the Gemara here on Daf Ayin Tesam and Aleph now analyzes this Mishnah Utsricha. Why do we need the two cases in the Mishnah, the Reisha in the case of the father, and the Seif in the case of the Isha herself, the Iyash meaning Gabi Di Dei? If the Mishnah had only told me the Reisha, where the father sent the Shliach, and then he, the father, was Mekadesh, Mishum de Gavra, Kimle, Biyuchsin, it's possible to differentiate between a male and a female. In other words, in the case of the father, he's very careful about Yuchsin. He knows he's a bucky in Yuchsin, and perhaps when he went ahead and he was makabel kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, not relying on the shliach, he found a man who was a miyuchas. The father researched it, and he was absolutely convinced that this one is a miyuchas. He had doubts about the shliach and the kiddushin of the shliach, whether the other man who was earmarked for the shliach was in fact a miyuchas, and therefore when he, the father, went ahead and was makadish, for sure he found a chassan who's more miyuchas for his daughter, and he would like that kiddush to be chal, and he would like to just completely null and void the shlichus. Aval, but in the case of an issa where she went ahead and subsequent to appointing a shliach, she was mekabel kiddush lo kimla, she's not sure about yuchsin. Emo, we might think lo nehevi kiddushel kiddushin, since she appointed a shliach, her kiddushin not chal. She never canceled and nulled the shlichus, and we're not going to say like we would in the father that she was worried about the fact that the shliach might marry her off to someone who's not so miyuchas. And therefore, in this case, we would assume that for sure she's relying on the shliach. Kamash Balon, the Mishnah teaches me that even in the Sefer where she went ahead was Mekadbal Kiddushin, her intention was, perhaps, that her Kiddushin should be valid, and not the Kiddushin of the Shliach. And if her Kiddushin came before, sequentially before the Kiddushin of the Shliach, her Kiddushin are valid and not his, not the Shliach's. The Yashmina Gabi Dida, now we'll turn it the other way around. If we only had the Sefer, where she sent the Shliach, and then she went ahead and was Mekabel her own Kiddushin. In that case, Mishum the Isisa Daika, she's more concerned about herself than her father, and she's Medaik to make sure that this is the right one. Uminsaba, and she gets married, and therefore she wants to get the best possible Miyuchastika suitor that she possibly can. Therefore, when she went ahead and received Kedushin, the implication is that she wants to be Mavatal, she wants to nullify the Shlichus. Aval, but I might think that in the case of the father who's Makadish, a man for his daughter, Ihu, Emolowich Pasle, maybe he's not as concerned about the yichus of this young man as the case of the bas herself, and perhaps he's also a little bit motivated to get some kesef kedusha which he pockets, so he wants to, so to speak, sell her at the best price. Is I might think that in such a case the kedushin of the shliach is valid and not the kedushin of the father, because by appointing the shliach, the father indicated that he's out of the picture. If I need the mission to tell me these both cases, both dinim, each one has a chiddush. Now the Gemara wants to address the following issue. What happens if a man is mekabel kiddushin, a father, for his bas, who's a naira? We're going to soon see that this is on the last day of Hanairus, that transition day at the end of the 6th month. But in any event, right now she's a naira, and she herself was mekabel kiddushin on her own behalf. Now, we're not sure at what moment in time she was Mekabel Kiddushin. If she was Mekabel Kiddushin after she was already a Bogeres, and the father likewise, then clearly the father's out of the picture. She leaves the domain of her father with Bagrus, and therefore only her Kiddushin is valid. If, on the other hand, we assume that the father was successfully Mekabel Kiddushin before she became a Bogeres, we're not sure exactly at what time, at what moment in time, and what was the status of Nisha at that moment in time. Was she a Naira Bogeres? Therefore, we have to be very careful, and we have to assume that perhaps the Kiddushin of the father is valid, especially if he was Mekabel Kiddushin before the daughter. Itmar, we learned, and this is going to be a gigantic sugya, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What's the case? Kidsha avia, the father was mekabel kedushin on behalf of his daughter baderech, and they were on the road. U kidsha atzma, she herself on that very same day received kedushin back in the city from another suitor. Varehi Bogeres. And when they investigated her and what her status is in order to figure out whether the Kiddushin is valid or not, they found that she has what's called Simone Bagrus. She has Shtei Saras, everything is well. She's already a Bogeres. She can receive Kiddushin on her behalf. The father is completely out of the picture. And the question is, what came first, Bagrus or the Kiddushin of her father? If the Bagrus came first, then obviously the father is out of the picture. He has no koach to be Mekabel Kiddushin. But if his Kiddushin, the father's Kiddushin, came before she became a Bogeres, then her father's Kiddushin, insofar as they came before her Kiddushin, make her into a married woman to so-and-so, and when she is Mekabel Kiddushin from another person, that Kiddushin is invalid. She's already an Eishes Ish. Is Rav Omar. Rav is of the opinion, now we're turning to the middle of Ayin Tes Omid Aleph. Rav says, Harei hi bogeres lifanenu. This is what's called a chazoka dahashta. When we look at something and we see what status it has right now, we assume that anything that happened earlier took place when this was in that same chazoka, that same status. For example, if we check the mikveh and we find that it's chaser, and somebody jumps, a tamei jumped into the mikveh, we assume that since now it's chaser, it's not a kosher mikveh, then before it wasn't a kosher mikveh. And if, on the other hand, we find a situation in which the chazok and the hashtu would qualify the mikveh, that's fine. Here, when we take the yardstick of chazok and the hashtu and we apply it in this particular scenario, says Rav, and she is bogeres lefanenu, therefore we assume that just like now she's a bogeres, so too at the moment that the father was mekabel kedushin, she was a bogeres. She left the reshus of her father, and her father's kedushin is not valid. Shmuel says that you cannot rely totally, at least, on the chazoka d'hashta. Chazoka d'hashta is not convincing. We know for sure at one point she was a nara. Now she's a bogeres. Who knows how old she was, what status she was in with when the father was mekabel kedushin. He was mekabel kedushin sometime between naras and bagros. And therefore the suffix is, when did she bring Simoni Bagrus? Was she a Nara, and she had not yet developed Simoni Bagrus at the time that the father was Mekabel Kedushin on her behalf? Or no, she had already developed the Simoni Bagrus, she was already a Bogeres, and the father's Kedushin is invalid. It's Chayshinu Kedushin Shneim, Shmuel says in this case, we have to worry about both. The Kedushin of the father as well as the Kedushin of the girl herself. And once again, we will require two gittin from both of these potential Mekadshim Mitzad Sofei. And Shmuel is not willing to agree and rely on the Cheskas Hashta. The Gemara says, Emas, when exactly did this Maisa take place? How old was she when the father was Mekabel Kedushin? If it was after she had celebrated her 12th birthday, but before she was 12 and a half, is then Baha Nema Rav Harei Bogeres Lefanenu? Why would Rav apply the logic of Chazoka d'Hashta? Now, Hashta Hu D'Bagra. Now we checked around and she was a Bogeres, but at the time that the father was Mekabel Kedushin, she was still a Nara. Now, if you check out Rashi here on the words Beha Nema Rav, Rashi says that in this case, where there was a Kabbalah's Kiddushin on the part of the father during the months of the 6 month period between Narus and Bagrus, she'll need, according to Rav, meaning even according to Rav, two gittin, and her status is that of a suffolk. And the obvious question is, well, why is there a suffolk in this case? If the kedushin of the father was accepted bitoch shisha, then clearly his kedushin should be valid. And if indeed his Kedusha came first, why would we even have a Havamina that her Kedusha requires a get, and her situation is that of a Suffolk? And the answer is that Rashi's of the opinion that during this 6 month period, although she does have a Cheskas Nara, and the Chazoka d'Hashta is not totally reliable because, although now she's a Bogeres, but during that 6 month period she has a Chazok to be a Nara, but there is nevertheless a possibility that she could produce on her body Simoni Bagrus even during this 6 month period. And therefore, even if we check her now and we find that she's a Bogeres, which would, according to Rav's logic, Chazok Rashta imply that the father's Kedusha is not valid, you know what? That's not a proof that she was a Bogeres an hour ago, because there's no chazaka that she should have Simoni Bagris during the 6 month period. So maybe when we find her now, after we check her, that she is a Bogeres, we assume that right now she became a Bogeres. There's no reason to create an arrow that goes back in time that Hashta Hu Debagra. And therefore, even Rav would certainly agree in this case that she's a Suffolk Mekudeshes and she requires two Gittin. So if it's not a case within the 6 months, Eloli Achar Shisha, it must be after the 6 months, is Baha Neima Shmuel de Chayshina and Lekidushe Shnehem? Why should Shmuel have any doubt about the validity of her Kiddushin, about the validity of his Kiddushin? For Omar Shmuel himself goes on record as saying, Ein Bein Narus Lebagrus Elashisha Chadoshim Bilvad. And we know clearly, therefore, that after 6 months, when she's 12 and a half, she's certainly, without a doubt, left the Rishus of her father. She's in her own independent Rishus, and therefore the Kiddushin Achal. And she was Makabel Kedushin as a Bogeres. Why would Shmuel require a get from something that took, from a situation from a state of Naris that passed already and is dead and buried in the past? Now the father's Makabel Kedushin, 6 months have passed, and we know exactly what her status is. Ain bein naris lebagrus ela shisha chadosh bilvad. The 6 months passed, and therefore her status is that of vogeres. Why would she require a get mitzad suffik from the father's kedushin? Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, de kaddish bahu yoma de mishlim shisha. The machlokus between Rav and Shmuel revolves around the case where the father was mekabel kedushin on the very day that she completed her 6 months of Naris. She's exactly celebrating her half birthday of 12 and a half. On that day, the chazaka is that she'll have Simone Bagus. She's gone through this transition between a Nara who doesn't have a chazaka of Bagus, but rather a cheskas Nara, to a Bogeres in the sense that she has a chazaka that she has Simone. And indeed, we checked her out and she has Simone. It's Rav Omar, Harehi Bogeres Lifanenu. We should assume that at the time of the father's Kiddushin, she was already a Bogeres. His Kiddushin is invalid. Midahash the Bogeres. If now we checked her out and she's a Bogeres, but Safra Nami Bogeres. An hour ago, she was also Bogeres because of the Chazoka that she'll bring Simonim. And therefore, the father's Kiddushin are invalid. Shmuel Omar, Hashle Hu Diaisei Simonim. We checked her out now, and we find Simoni Bagrus. Right now, she became a Bogeres, but who knows what her status was this morning, on the very beginning of this half-birthday, as we called it, early in the morning. The father was Makabel Kedushin before we checked her out, a couple hours ago, and we don't know that she was a Bogeres in the morning. Even though you'll argue against Shmuel, that a woman, once she hits that 6 month, she has a chazuk that she will bring Simonim, but yet we don't know, in fact, that she did bring Simonim. And now the Gemara is going to pounce on Shmuel from the famous case of mikvah, where we said just a few minutes ago that in mikvos, everything revolves around the chazuk of the hashta. And how could Shmuel argue with Mishnayos? Ushmuel maishna mi mikveh. This now we learned in the second perek of mikvos, the mishnayos of mikvos, mikveh. A mikveh that had a chazok, originally we checked it and it had 40 saw. It had the volume necessary. But now, shenimdad, after time period went on, v'nimtza chaser, we find that it has less than 40 saw. Is the Mishnah establishes Kol Taros Shanasu Al Gabov Lima Freya Bein Brishus Hayochid Bein Brishus Aram Tmeos? Means we look at the situation, the status of the mikveh today, That's called a chazok rahashto. And we assume just like now, today, it's chaser. So too is chaser at the time that they took kodshim that had come in contact with kelim or bnei adam that were tovil in this mikvah. So you have a man or a kli that was tamei, and this man or this kli went into the mikvah, and then truma or kodshim came in contact, that's called taros, with this man or with this kli. And we want to assume that since the man or the kli went into the mikvah, they became tar, and therefore the truma and the kodshim are still tahorim. Nevertheless, we say l'mafreya here. We assume that already at the time that this man went into the mikvah, or this kli went into the mikvah, it was already chaser. Because harei chaser lefanecha, we look at the chazok and the hashta. The Mishnah adds that it doesn't matter whether the mikvah is located in Rishus HaYachid, where we say Safik to Rishus HaYachid Sveiko Tomei, Bain, or if the mikvah is located in Rishus HaRabim, where the principle that rules that case of Rishus HaRabim is called Safik is Tahar. In both cases, the Chazaka establishes that the mikvah that's found today to be Chaser was Chaser at the time when the Tomei went into the mikvah. The Tomei went into a mikvah that was chaser. So why does Shmuel reject the idea of chazoket hashta with regard to a woman who's a sofek nara, sofek bogeres on the morning of the 6.5 birthday? Now we see that she's a bogeres. Let's assume she was bogeres in the morning as well, and therefore her kedushin should be chal. Why does Shmuel insist that the father also, the kedushin of the father also requires a get, also has the status of a safek? And the Gemara now tries to reconcile Shmuel with the Mishnah in Taros. Shiny Hossam, the Mishnah in Taros is based on a different circumstance, a different calculation, the Ikal and Meimar. We have to assume Muhammad Tomei al Cheskaso. Since the Tomei had a Cheskas Tuma, or the Kli, when it went into the mikvah, then we have a clash here between the Chazoka de Hashta and the Chazoka de Meikara. A support system. Right? We have the Chazoka de Hashta. That alone, the fact that today we find the mikvah chaser, would not be enough to paskin the din. But add to that another factor which also strengthens the Chazoka, and that is the chazok of the Adam who went into the mikvah, had a cheskas tuma, which tells you that until you know proof positive that he became tar, you assume he remains in a state of tuma. The Amar, and therefore we should assume shalo toval. Lo toval means he didn't, he wasn't toval in a mikvah that was kosher. And in the case where you have a combination of two powers that join hands together, like the Chazok Rahashta together with the Cheskas Tum of the Gavra, that's when the Chazok Rahashta rules the day. But in the case of Kiddushin, there it's a little bit different, and there is no double Chazoka that would join hands. And therefore, even though now we find her to be a bogeres, but before she had a cheskas narus, so we have now a clash. What was her status exactly this morning when the father was mekabel kedushin on behalf? The cheskas nara tells me that the kedushin is valid. The cheskas hashta in the evening when we checked her on that day, she had simoni bagris, tells me that the father's kedushin was invalid. That's where Shmuel requires a get mitzad sofek. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Even though to you and I it sounds wunderbar, very smooth, we've really found a beautiful reconciliation, the Gemara says, Adarabba, hamed mikvah al cheskaso v'yemelo chaser. It's not like the chazaka dahashta should be reliable in light of the chazaka of the gavra, the cheskas tomei of the cheskas tuma of the tomei. That chazaka dahashta, the mikvah, is very questionable, because Let's leave out the status of the Gavra who went into the mikvah. Let's just focus all our attention for the moment on the status of the mikvah. You're telling me that now I checked the mikvah and I found it chaser. But what about the fact that yesterday I checked the mikvah and I found it to be mole? So Hamid Mikval Chazkaso, the original Chazaka, which is called the Chazaka Dimei Eikara, testifies to the fact that the mikvah was kosher. The Emolo Chaser. And therefore, if you want to decide what's the status of the Gavra, the Tomei, who jumped into this mikvah, well, let's look at the mikvah. We don't care about his status and his Chazkas Tumah. His Chazkas Tumah is completely irrelevant. It's theoretical, but not real, because his Chazok and his status depends upon the mikvah that he jumped into. And therefore, what we should assume here is that by isolating the discounting, if you will, ignoring the chazok of the gavra, just focusing on the chazokas of the mikvah, we have two chazokas, one against the other. The chazok of the meikar that tells you the mikvah is kosher, it's mole. Chazok of the asher that tells you the mikvah is chaser, and therefore it's pasul. Is why then do we assume that kol taros shenas al gavla mafreya are tmeos? The answer must be the overriding power of the Chazaka to Hashda. Then Shmuel must admit that this Mishnah accepts and embraces the Chazaka to Hashda. That becomes the superior Chazaka. So the Gemara rejects this and says, Adarabba, Hamed Mikvah al Chazkas of Yemolo Chaser. Don't talk to me about the Chazaka to Gavra. Talk to me about the Chazaka to Mikvah. And the Chazaka to Mikvah was kosher before, and now it's kosher as well. It's not chaser. And as we said before, this would be proof positive against Shmuel to establish the overriding power and authority of the Chazaka da Hashta, and therefore called Tara Shanasal Gabul Mafreya Tmeos. The Gemara answers no. Hare chaser lefanecha. We should not use the logic of what was the status of the mikveh yesterday, what we call the chazaka d'mei kara. Rather, we should look at the status of the mikveh now, and if you're justifying the ruling of the Mishnah in mikvos based on the logic of chaser lefanecha, somehow chaser lefanecha trumps the original chezkas kashrus of the mikveh, because it was checked and it was mole at some point. Hachinami, says the Gemara, in our case of Hare Bogeres Lefanecha, we look at this girl now and we see today she is, or at this hour we should say, she is a Bogeres. And just like in the mikvah, that trumps any original chazaka that she had, so too, we should assume that at the time of the Kiddushei Aviyah, she was a Bogeres. It's Hare Chasel Lefanecha, Hare Bogeres Lefanecha. Why then does Shmuel insist that she needs a get even from the father's Kiddushin? And Gemara answers, Hashta Hu De Bagra. Here in the case of a Bogeres, we have reason to say that she became a Bogeres now, when we checked it. So the Gemara is obviously at a loss here, because what do you mean Hashta Hu De Bagra? If you're saying Hashta Hu De Bagra and you're completely voiding the Chezkas Hashta by saying that it doesn't work backwards, you know, now she became a Bogeres. She wasn't a Bogeres at the time that her father was Mekabel Kiddushin. Is Hasam Nami Hashta Hu De Chaser? Why not assume that the Chezkas Hashta, the mikvah now was checked in its Chaser, is totally unreliable? Why is it that because of the status of the mikvah, now when we checked it, we found it chaser, we assume that all the tmeos, all the taras that were are tmeos, you see that the chazok and hashta is superior, where there's no logical reason to say that in the case of bogeres, hashta hu de bagra, there's no chazok that takes me backwards. Hasam, says the Gemara, and this is going to be the breakthrough to understand Shmuel, and how the Braisa, how the mission of Mikvos works out according to Shmuel, Tarte L'Reusa. In other words, it's not fair when you have two chazokas on the mikvah. You have chazoka meikara, which says hashtahu de nechsar. And you have chazoka de hashtu, which says no, chasul fanecha, the mikvah was posel at the time before Lamafreya when the tmeos went in. So you have now a contradiction, a conflict on the mikvah. Put that on the side for a moment and let's look at the gavra. The gavra is becheskas tomei. Link up that Cheskas Tomei of the Gavra together with the Harei Chosel Fanecha the Mikvah, and you have Tarte L'Reus, so you have two against one. Hacha, but here in the case of Ogeres, Chada L'Reusa. We only have one reason to press us and lead us to the conclusion that the father's Kedushin is invalid, and that's the Chazoka da Hashta. Now she's a Ogeres. What additional support do you have that could bolster and strengthen the Chazoka d'Hashta? In the case of the mikvah, you have the Chazoka d'Hashta with another Reusa and the fact that the Kalim, or the person who went into the mikvah, were Tmeim. That's Tarti l'Reusa, but here it's only Chada l'Reusa. Now, if you'll ask me about the lack of reliability, or shall we say the weakness of the Chazoka d'Hashta, because before she had a Chazok, she was a Nara, that I don't see. Then Shmuel might agree that the Chazoka d'Meikar, that she was a Nara, is not strong enough. And therefore the Chazoka d'Hashta really does have one up it. But nevertheless, it's only Chada l'Reusa. There's no additional Chazoka that we can add here. And now the Gemara says, Ushmuel Maishna Michavis. Okay, you can somehow, you know, through sweat and toil, you can reconcile Shmuel Yoshita with the Mishnah in Mikvos. But what are you going to do with the Braisa of Chavis? And this is Halach and Afrosh's Truma. Just a little bit of background. If a person generally designates a certain barrel, and that's where he keeps the wine, that he's going to from that barrel of wine, he's going to be mafresh truma on all his other wines, all his other barrels. But the only way he can be mafresh truma is if the wine itself is wine. Now, wine has a tendency, with the passage of time, of fermenting and becoming chometz. It becomes like a vinegar kind of taste. We have wine vinegar. That's a separate object. That's a different heftza. It's two minim. And you cannot be mafresh from chometz onto yayin. And now we have the brisa of chovis. The sanya we learned in the brisa. Hoyabodek es hachovis. He would constantly check the chovis that he designated for Afrosh's truma to make sure that it still is wine. It hasn't fermented. And why? Lahafresh olet truma. So he could take it with truma on the and patter up all the other chaviyot shel yayin that are tevel, veholech, and he relies on his bedika when he makes this hafrosha. But v'acherkach nimtzeis chometz, what happens if after he went ahead he was mafresh truma? He checked the wine again inside the chavis and he found that it was chometz. We don't know, did it become chometz before the hafrosha and therefore this hafrosha is meaningless? Or did it become chometz? It became chmitza, became chometz after his afrosha. So what's the din of all the other chavios? We don't know. It really depends on the situation that falls between two bedikos. The original bedika established that it was yayin. Now the bedika establishes that it was chometz. Somewhere between it was mafresh. So the Braisa says, Kol Shloshas Yomin, for the 3 days after his Bedika, the Chavis has a Chazaka, Vadai, that it's Yayin, and therefore the Truma is valid. Mikan V'Elech, after 3 days, is Safek. We have to assume that there's a very strong possibility, a likelihood, that at the time of his Afrasha, which was 3 days subsequent to the original Bedika, what was inside the barrel was indeed chometz rather than yayin. And this also is going to be a kasha on Shmuel Reminu. Why is this going to be a kasha on Shmuel? The answer is that first we have to work out the principles of this brisa, locally, so to speak, independently, and then we'll try to compare that to Shmuel in the case of the Bogeres. Reminon Chavis HaMikvah. First we have to reconcile Chavis with Mikvah. Maishna Dohacha. Why is it that in the case of Mikvah, Vadai, we assume that if it's Chaser, then it was Chaser before. In other words, the original Bedika that established the 40 saw the Kashus of the Mikvah is completely undermined, is completely invalidated by the Bedika now that we find that it's Chaser. And we assume that a moment after the Bedika, so to speak, the original Bedika, I mean, it became Chaser. Umayshna dahacha, but here in the case of Chavis, we say that after 3 days subsequent to the Bedika, we have a Suffolk. We're not going to say that since now we find it Chometz, therefore it became Chometz immediately after the original Bedika. Well, when I say immediately again, it would not turn to Chometz until 72 hours pass, but I'm saying after the 72 hours, the Brisa establishes the status is that of Suffolk. Why should that be a suffix? We should say that for sure the truma is not truma, vadiach mitzah. Once we are out of the period of the 3 days, then we look at the bdika now, and we find that it is chometz inside this chavitz. We should assume it was chometz at the time of his bdika, which was 3 days at the time of his afrasha, which is 3 days after his bdika, the bdika of yayin. Omar Rav Chanina Misuria, Man Tana Chavis. Don't be bothered by the brisa of Chavis. Enochinami, it undermines and contradicts the Mishnah of Mikvos. But there's a special, there's a logic in that brisa of Chavis that reflects a special unique sheet of Rav Shimon. Chavis Rabbi Shimon he. And Rabbi Shimon, even in the case of Mikvah, the Gabi Mikvah Nami Sveka Mashveh, he's not willing to accept that since the Mikvah is now Chaser, we know for sure it was Chaser L'mafreya going back to the time of the previous Bedika that established it as Mole. And therefore the Suffolk in Chavis, and this it parallels or reflects, according to Reb Shimon at least, the same identical Psak of Suffolk in the case of Mikvah. From whence do we derive this halacha of Rabbi Shimon? The Sanya we learned in a brisa with regard to mikvah, kol taros shenasu al gabov lemafreya, bein brishus hayochid, bein brishus harabim tmeos. You see that according to this Tana, which is the resha of the brisa, the Tanakhama of this brisa, which reflects identically what we saw in the Mishnah in mikvahs, even in the case of Rishus HaRabim, all the Tmeim that went in are Bechezkas Vadei Tmeim. Again, if it was a Suffolk, then we would say Suffolk to Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it all depends. If it's Rishus HaRabim is Tahoros, Rishus HaYochid, then it's going to be Tolan. What does it mean in Rishus HaRabim it's Tahoros? The halacha is that Suffolk to Rishus HaRabim is Sveiko Tomei, and therefore since the mikvah was checked way back when, which might have been a day ago, might have been a week ago, a month ago, whenever it was checked, it was found to be mole. Now we find it to be chaser. We now have a suffix on the status of the mikvah, which reflects the same suffix as the chavis that was originally checked and it had yayin, and the chavis now is checked and it has chometz. What's the deal if this mikvah was located in Rishus HaYochid, that's a classical mikvah, then we have a suffix. Now please note that the sugya Nida derives from the parish of Sota, that suffix Tumrishus HaYochid is Sveiko Tomei, And Rabbi Shimon never accepted that derivation. He held that in Rishus HaYochid in Sota, there's Raglayim Ledover, after she had Kinui and Stira, and that's why there's Tuma, and she's Asurel Baila. But as a universal rule, in Rishus HaYochid it's going to be Sveiko Safek, and that's Halach of Tolin. Tolin means we don't know what to do with these Taharos. It comes out that Rabbi Shimon Bemis holds that there's no distinction whatsoever between Chavis and Mikveh. In both cases, there is a Safek. And now we're ready for the objection, the Stira L'chora Teshitas Shmuel. That Shmuel Safek, in the case of the father's Kiddushin, in addition to her Kiddushin, that reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon. And therefore, the Hashta Bogeres is contradicted by her original status way back when, that she was a Nara. And we have two Chazakas pitted one against the other that generate a Suffolk, Aval Rabbanon, L'Rabbanon. The Rabbanon who say that in Mikveh, even in the case of Rishus HaRabim, the Taros are Tmeos. And in the case of Chavis, by deduction, we would judge all this wine that he was Mafresh from Tevel HaMafreya. In other words, we assume that since we found the wine, the barrel of wine, to be chometz now, it was also likewise chometz at the time of the Afrasha. And therefore, Tevel HaMafreya, we undermine and vitiate the status of this Afrasha's Truma. According to the Rabbanan, we have a problem with Shmuel, because Shmuel says in the case of Narash and Bagra that we have a suffix situation and we need a get from the Makadish of the father, and the Bas is in a situation in limbo of Suffolk. That would be very fine, reflecting the Shita of Shimon, but we'd love to work out Shmuel, reconcile Shmuel with the Rabbanon Shita. And the Rabbanon Lechora, in the case of Bogeres, would say that just like now she's a Bogeres, so too she was a Bogeres at the time that the father was Makabal Kedushin. His Kedushin is invalid. The Gemara answers, Shiny Hassam, don't talk to me about the case of Chavis, the Ikol and Meimar, Hamed Tevel Alches Koso. You want to know whether this Afrosha's Truma is valid or not? Let's look at the impact. The impact of this Afrosha, what's dependent upon this Afrosha, is the transition, the change of the status of the other Chavios from that of Tevel to that of Chulin, of Heter. The Amar Shalom Niskan, by maintaining the original status of the Chavis until you know otherwise, it's not going to be Niskan. So you have a kind of a Tarti L'Reisa situation. On the one hand, we find now that the Chavis from which he was Mafrish is Chometz. That's called Hashta Chometz Lefanecha. And at the same time, we want to see if we can change the status, the Chazoka of the Tevel, and make it into Chulin. In the case of Nara Shebagra, on the other hand, it's on this very day of her half birthday, from 12 to 13, the 6 month period ended on this day. Well, what kind of chazaka does she have? Obviously, she's en route to make that transition from Narus to Bagrus. But it's hard to say that she has a definite chazok on this day. So you're left with a situation where you only could fall back on the chazok of the hashta. It's not a tarti l'reusa. So now the Gemara rejects this logic of chavis. Adarabba, in the case of chavis, hamed yayin al cheskoso. Why don't we go back to the original Bedika, in which, way back when, we established this Chavis to be Yayin, the Amar Lo Hichmitz. It's not fair to rely solely on the Chazok and Ahash that you found it to be Chometz, and then link that up with the Cheskas Tuma of the, I shouldn't say Tuma, but Cheskas Tevel of the other Chavios. That's not fair, because you have to really set up a conflict, a confrontation between two chazakas. There's a chazaka that was engendered by the original Bedika that it was Yayin, And now you have the Chazoker Ahashta, Harei Hichmitz Lefanecha. And therefore, the Gemara says that, you know, for Shmuel to say that the case of Chavis is different because you have two Chazokas, one against the other, that power that you attribute to the original Chazoka, that the Chavis was Yayin, is going to, in a certain sense, undermine our understanding here. We thought that the Truma is not necessarily valid, right? We don't want to validate the Truma because of the Chazoka Rahashta. So now you're telling me what? Adaraba, Hamed Yayin al Cheskoso. So then the conclusion should be that the Truma is valid, is Kedin. So the Gemara now answers that Hare Hichmitz Lefanecha. You cannot rely on the original Chazaka, because now you have a new Chazaka, you find Chametz. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, likewise, if we take the logic of Chavis and superimpose it on the case of Kedushei Abbas, we should say that the Bas does not have a Chazaka, that she's a Nara. Why? Because Harei he Bogeris Lefanenu. So you can't rely on the original Chazaka of Narus when she's now a Bogeris. And in that case, we're back to our original question, why does Shmuel say that we should be choshesh for the Kedushei Ha'av? And the Gemara answers, yeah, hashta hu debagra, that's true. We have a strong logical reason to assume that she's a bogeres lefanenu, but maybe we should say hashta hu debagra, right now she became a bogeres. And the Gemara doesn't explain why hashta hu debagra. You know, what's the strong tzad to say that now she became a bogeres? But again, I think it comes back to the original position of this transition moment. You know, we know that she's going from the state of Daris into the state of Bagrus. So why not assume that that change took place at the last possible moment, which means that when the father was Mekabel Kiddushin, she was still a Nara. But the Gemara answers, the Gemara insists that even though she's a Bogeris Lefanenu, but Hashta Hu Debagra, because she had the original Chazok of a Nara, which pushes off that change. And if we apply this kind of, you know, head-on collision, you know, that you're talking about something that's in flux and it's changing its status, and therefore the original Bedika, the original Chazoka, is not totally reliable. The new Chazaka that we see today is not totally reliable to Golem Afreya. Is Hasam Nami there too in the case of Chavis, Hashtahu Diachmitz, we're in this transition state in which the Yayin had an original Chazaka of the Chavis had an original Chazaka of Yayin. Why not say Hashtahu Diachmitz? Let's postpone that change of status to the very last moment. And therefore, we really should, according to the logic of Shmuel, come to the conclusion that the Chavis, in this case, should be a Sofek Hafrasha. The Chachamim say that it's Tevel Vadai. Shmuel says that we should be Choshesh for a Sofek. When you posit, or present two Chazokos that contradict each other in a head-on collision, Shmuel generates a suffix. He's not willing to tip the scale in favor of the Hashta because he has against it a svar to say that Hashta, now the change took place because of the original Chazaka. And therefore in Truma, in the case of Chaviel Shiyan, it should be a suffix. Why do the Chachamim say that it's Vadei Tevel? So the Gemara answers with a new element into the sugya. Hasam, in the case of Chavis, Tarte Lereusa. We have to assume that since the status of the Yayin was originally Tevel, and now you have this conflict where you're positing two Chazokas, one against the other, we're going to take the Chazok and Ahashto that tells you to go to Mafrei and assume it was Chometz at the time of the Frasha, and we're going to place it and attach it together with the Chezkas Hayayin. The Cheskes Hayayin was at its Tevel until you know for sure, certainly, that there was a change in status. You assume there was no change in status. Hacha, but here in the case of Nara Shebogra, Chada L'Reusahu, we've seen this Svara. Chada L'Reusahu Di'ika, there's only one Svara to say that the Kiddushei Ha'av are not valid, and that's the Chazok Rahashta. There's no further support with an additional Reusa that would link up with the Chazok Rahashta and undermine and invalidate the Kiddushin of the Father, and therefore we're left with a Safek. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Tes with Beis, Neima Kitanoi. Maybe the Machlokes Shmuel and Rav is indeed a Machlokes Tanoim. And we're talking about a person who gives away his Nechasim. He can give away all his Nechasim. That's only if he's healthy. If he's a Shchiv Meira, who is about to die, then we have to figure out at what point did he give away his gift. In other words, there's a machlokas tanoim about the case of a person who writes a shtar, and in the shtar he gives away all his nechasim to someone, let's call him a fremder, you know, a stranger, who's not part of the Yerusha, not part of the family. Now, if he was a bari, then that shtar and that kinyan is absolutely valid. But if he's a shchiv meirah, then if he gave this gift when he's a shchiv meirah, and then he snaps out of it, he has miraculous recovery, we have to figure out the status of this shtar, of this matana. If he wrote his nechasim and he gave it away, we don't know what his status was, what his health situation was when he gave this matana. If he was a shchimera, as we said before, the kinyan is not chal. So that person who received the shtar is going to argue that, you know what, now he's a shchimera. But when he wrote this shtar, he was a bari, and therefore it's valid. On the other hand, let's say now the person who gave this matana wants to rescind the matana. He wants to claim that when he gave the matana, he was a shchiv meira. So the Brisa clarifies, mi motzi miad mi, who has the burden of proof to establish his claim? Hu motzi miyodam, below raya. The statement of the Brisa, before we get to Rab Nosson, this is Rab Yaakov, is that the muchzakus here and the establishment of the halacha is on the hand, is in the side and the turf of the nosan. In other words, he has a right to say, I was a shchiv meira at the time that I gave this matana, and therefore the matana is invalid. And therefore, who motzi miyodam below raya? The shchiv meira doesn't have to adduce any evidence, bring any testimony to prove that he was indeed a shchiv meira at the time of the nesina, even though again now he's a bari. The assumption is that he's believed to say that he was a shchiv meira when he gave this matana. Vehein, on the flip side, the recipients, ein motzi and miyado, they have no way of winning their argument, their claim that he was a bari, he was healthy at the time of the matana, and therefore below raya, unless they can produce evidence, testimony to support their claim that he was a bari at the time of the nesina, they're out. They have no claim to validate this matana. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Nosson Omer, im bari hu, if now we see he's a bari. Olav lahavi raya shay shchiv meira. Now he wants to be motzi from the present chazok et ahashna and say, no, then when I gave the matana, I was a shchiv meira, the burden of proof is on him to establish that he was a shchiv meira, and therefore the matana was invalid. V'yim shchiv meira hu, but if now at this moment he is a shchiv meira, that's the chazok et ahashna and the valid, and the matana is invalid. Alem. The burden of proof is on them. Lahavi raya shebari haya, that back then when he gave the matana, he was a bari. Neima, shall we assume, Rav diomek Rab Nosson, Ushmuel diomek Rab Yaakov. Rav, who says that we put all the emphasis on the chazok and ahashta, that fits very well with the sefer, with the second shita in this brisa, namely the shita of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says that we look at the Chazaka Rahashta. If now he's a Shchimira, then we assume he was a Shchimira then when he gave the Matana. If now he's a Bari, we assume that he was a Bari at the time that he gave the Matana. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, wait a minute, let's put aside the Chazaka Rahashta. We always have a Safek, and therefore we assume that maybe, even though now she's a Bogerish, the father's Kiddush took place when she was yet a Nara, he should be lined up with the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov, because Rabbi Yaakov also is invalidating the Chazaka Dahashta, and he says that even if now, at this moment, the Nosein, the giver of this Matana, is a Bari, nevertheless, perhaps, he was a Shchimera, and we support his claim that at the time of the Matana, he was a Shchimera. And the Gemara says, no, I want to reject this interdependence here. There's no proof that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is identical as the Machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson. Omalecha Rav is going to claim, Anodi Amri Afilu Ki Rabbi Yaakov, Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Yaakov. When does Rabbi Yaakov downgrade the status of Chazok Rahashto? Hosab, in the case of Matana, the Ikal Meimar, Hamid Mamon Al Chizkoso. By looking at the Mamon, we come to the opposite conclusion. You, the recipient, the Makabal, want to establish a new bailus on and undermine and invalidate the original Chazaka. The Chazaka is that these possessions belong to the Nosein until we have proof positive that he gave it away. Can you really say that on that very day when she completes her Nairus, it's 6 months into her 12th year, I should say her 13th year, right? Now she's undergoing a transition from Nairus to Bagrus. That's called an Asuya Lishtano situation, going to change. The Cheskas Nairus is not reliable. She doesn't yet have a Cheskas Bagrus. And therefore, we could apply the principle, and even Rav Yaakov could agree, of Chazaka Dahashta. Shmuel Omar Nodi Amri Afilu Liravi Nosson, Irav Nosson, who says, let's look at the situation now. He could agree, Ad Kan Lokom Rav Nosson Osom, the Kuliyama Vecheskas Briam Kaimi. Why does Rav Nosson insist that the Cheskas Hashtos reign supreme? That if now he's a Bari, the burden of proof falls on the Mekablim. They have to prove that he was a Shchimira when he gave. I got the calculation wrong. If now he's a Bari, then the burden of proof is on the Nosein to prove that he was a Shchimira then. After all, that's against Shmuel. Rav Nosson Ilchor is putting all the power and all the weight of evidence on the Chazaka Dahashta. Now he's a Bari, we assume he was a Bari until we know otherwise. That's because of the Cheskas, the Chazaka that most people are Briam. Your average Joe on the street is Becheskas Bari. A person wants to say, no, when I gave this gift, I was a Shchimera, and take himself out of that Chazaka that he's a Bari, is Havi Alei Lasuye Raya. He's got to bring proof to establish that indeed he was a Shchimera at the time that he gave the Matana, therefore the Matana is invalid. And therefore, that's not a stira to Shmuel. Aval hacha, but here in the case of Shmuel, mifka mafka nafsha mi chazaka de kamei. When we assume that she was a nara this morning, this very morning, when the father received kesef kedushin, is she taking herself out of some sort of chazaka that most people are this, most people are that, most people are healthy and not shchimeras? After all, her original chazaka was that she was a Nara. And if we want to invalidate the father's kedushin, we're assuming that validate the father's kedushin, we have to assume that just like she was a Nara yesterday, she was a Nara this morning when he was makabel kedushin on her behalf. So there's no chazaka to assume that, you know, she should be or she has to be part of this rove and her status is that of a bogeres. The Rashashi has a brilliant kasha. The assumption here of Shmuel, when he says kule alma v'cheskes briyam kaim, seems to be that there's a rov. And now we're trying to, based on this rov, we're trying to establish the halacha in dinei mamonos. Shmuel himself is of the opinion at the beginning of Hashar Shadokas Apara and Bava Kama, Ein Holchim and Momenachar Rov. So you're going to have to assume that this Rov here is a unique kind of Rov, that it's not just Rov, it's really Kol Olam Kula Becheskas Briyum. Lanias Daiti, I don't know, I have to clarify this kasha of the Rashash. I would have said the Rashash kasha is no kasha because Ein Olchim Momen Rov means that Rov doesn't have the power to be Motzi Momen Becheskasa. But here, if we're assuming based on Rov that he was a Bari, that he was a Bari, right, so what's your problem? Ein Olchim Momen Rov, this Bari means that the sale was valid. Oh, okay. Let's get the cheshbon here of the Rashash. Now I see it. The Rashash is saying that this Rov is coming to be motzi chazal, because the Rov is coming to establish that he was a bari and therefore validate the sale. Oh, so at this point, the Gemara says that the machlokas shin Rav and Shmuel is not to be identified with the machlokas shin Rav Yaakov and Rav Nosson. And indeed, it can go in both directions. Rav can identify himself even with Rav Yaakov, whereas Shmuel can identify himself even with Rav Nosson. The Gemara says, Neimar Kahani Tanoi, but maybe the machlokas Rav and Shmuel depends upon a different machlokas. And the Braisa records the following scenario, Kidsha Avia Baderech. After the father was Makabel Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, she herself, Kidsha Atzma Be'ir, she accepted Kiddushin for herself in the city. And now they checked out to see, was she still a Nara at the time of this Kiddushin, or she had become already a Bogeres? Veharehi Bogeres. They checked her out, and guess what? They found out that she is a Bogeres. Is Tanachada, we have one Braisa that says that the father's Kedushin is invalid, Harei hi Bogeres lefanenu. Tanya Edo, we have another Braisa that says, Chayshino lekedushe shneem, that she needs a get from both of them. My love, isn't it logically so, that Chad Braisa, the first Braisa that says that the father's Kedushin is invalid, is Kirav, Vechad, the second Braisa, Kishmuel, lo, says Gemara. Edi Kishmuel, we could establish that both Brisos agree to Shmuel. Khan, the first Brisa, is B'makhashto. In other words, even though the first Brisa completely invalidates the Kedushin of the father and creates a Vadai that her Kedushin is valid, that's because we add another element into the equation. In other words, Shmuel is talking about a case where we don't know what she has to say. Well, she herself doesn't know what she has to say. But the Brisa here that's establishing that the father's Kedushin is invalid is where she has something to say. She contradicts the father. And she says, and only she can know this, that she had Simone Bagrus before the Kedushin of the father. This morning, she found Simone Bagrus. And we rely on her testimony about herself. Because her testimony is a Tainus Bari. And we have no one to be Machish her Tainus Bari. So therefore, Shmuel says, well, you know what? Now we have to use the Cheskes Hashta together with Hotainis Bari, and we have to assume that the father's Kedushin is invalid. But here in the second Raisa, Kishen Makhashto, that's where Shmuel made his statement that if the daughter has nothing to say and she can't contradict the father, we go back into objective Sfeikas we have here as Sofei. Based on this answer, the Gemara goes back to the original machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. V'neima, why not say, Mina masniso lo pligi, Amoroi nami lo pligi. If you give this logical distinction, maybe there's no machlokes b'chlal between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel never argued to begin with. Rav is talking about a case where she was makrish, and she said, I know that I was bogeris at the time of my father's kedushin, I had simoni bagrus. Shmuel's talking about a case where she's not being makrish, and therefore you need a suffix. The Tizra, the Gemara says, that's a very nice possibility and a very nice presentation, but it's impossible to maintain that. Why? Ha Rav Yosef Breid Rav Menashe Mitvil, in a case that happened. So this very case of a father who was Mekabel Kedushin happened, and Rav Yosef Ovad Uvda Kavase de Rav, he paskin like Rav, that the father's Kedushin are totally invalid, and only her kedushin is valid. The ikvid Shmuel, and Shmuel got very upset about it. The Omar, the Kuli Alma Kaili Le Bekaba Zutra. Okay, this is a mushal over here in heavy Aramaic. He says that all the chachamim in the world Kaili Le Bekaba Zutra. We can measure their chachma with a midok tana. And basically, they don't want to rely on their own opinion and be matir suffocatious ish vahai de rabbanon. And this chacham, member of the rabbanon, namely Rav Yosef, kaili le bekaba rabba. You know, he thinks that you can measure his chachma with a mida rabba. In other words, he's got real heavy chachma, and therefore he relies on his chachma, and he paskins that this woman doesn't need to get from the person who received kedushin from her father. He's not choshesh for a suffix HSE. She puts so much heavy weight valuing his own chachma. V'isakadak lo pligi, if you tell me that Rav and Shmuel never had a machlokes, then amaykom makpid. Why was Shmuel so upset about Rav Yosef? Dilma, perhaps, ki ovid uvdu v'machashto. After all, Shmuel agrees, that's what you're telling me, to Rav, that in a case where she herself knows and contradicts her father, that she brought out simone, she developed simone bagrus before the father's kedushin, you're telling me that Shmuel is moded in this case, that she's believed. No, maybe that was exactly the scenario of Rav Yosef, and he wasn't really paskening like Rav. He was paskening like Rav in a case where Shmuel agrees. Why was Shmuel so peeved about it? But the answer is that we have to understand that Rav and Shmuel argued in a case, as we said before, Shmuel requires a get me suffix from the father's Mekadesh. Why? Because she says nothing. So there's no tainus bari, it's pure suffix, and therefore we're going to put one chazaka of naris against the other chazaka of bagrus. And on that very case where she says nothing, that's where Rav Yosef paskin like Rav. And as a result, Shmuel got upset. So again, you're right. In one case, there is no machlokas Shmuel and Rav. And we don't need Shmuel agrees that we don't need a get from the father. That's because she's machish the father. But there is still a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the case where she says nothing. Rav holds that the father's kedushin is invalid in all circumstances, even if she says nothing. Simply based on the chazaka d'hashta, now she's a bogeres, she was a bogeres at the time the father was mekabel kedushin. Shmuel says no. If she says nothing, we have a pure suffix, one chazak against the other. How do we paskin in this machlokas, Rav and Shmuel? Amalei mar zutra l'ravashi, hachi omar ameimar. This is what Ameir says, hilchus ha-kavasei de Shmuel. But Ravashi omar hilchus ha-kavasei de Rav. And the final maskon of the Gemara is, v'hilchus ha-kavasei de Rav. We paskin like Rav. And the Mefarshim already point out that why do we make a whole big deal here that we paskin halacha like Rav? In general, the machlokas Rav and Shmuel in Isurim, we paskin like Rav. So you're just applying the universal rule. But the answer is, since we found that Amemer and Marzutra paskin like Shmuel back in the earlier generations, we might think that in this case, as an exception to the rule, we paskin like Shmuel. Kamashmuel, no, we paskin like Rav.